Where's that microphone? Here it is. Come up here, lovely.
This girl in my class, she's never really asked me about God and the church, but this week she's been asking me a lot, and I've been telling her, and then I've been seeing, like, on the playground, and while she's eating her food, she's telling it to other people. So.
That's tremendous. Isn't that tremendous? Well done, Macy.
Thank you.
Thank you, baby. Beautiful. What a lovely testimony. And, you know, there's so much faith. I learned a lot from Macy and Samuel. I've learned a lot from the both of them because they have faith. And the faith is very powerful. When they've prayed, it's God is with our children. Amen. God is with our children. I mean, adults are presumptuous over children. It's a mistake. God's hand is with them. And God will use them to do things that the adults find difficult to do. Prayers of healing and all sorts of things happen through the children. Insight into circumstances. They won't make a big performance of it. You know, adults sometimes say, thus saith the Lord, the Lord has told me this. You know, adults tend to, you know, the children, it just comes out in their day-to-day, just in a very natural way. But it's the Lord who's spoken to them and through them. And it's a very powerful thing. So it's a treasure. So thank you so much for that. And even if they're your own children, don't presume on them. They're God's children. God, you know, God. We have the privilege of having custody, but they're God's children. So, anyone else? Reverend Wendy.
Two very short ones about what God has done in my life. The first is, one night, I just could not get settled in bed. It wasn't I was thinking about anything. Legs wouldn't get settled, head wouldn't get settled. I was this way, that way. Shall I get up? Shall I make a cup of tea? No, it's cold. I'll stay where I am. In the end, about 4 o'clock, no, I'll get up. I'll make a cup of tea. Having made the cup of tea, what will I do? Will I go on the computer and play solitaire? Try and, you know, get myself into a mood? No, I'll put TBN UK on. And as I did, it said, your presence is heaven to me. Jesus, Jesus, your presence is heaven to me. And I started singing Jesus, Jesus, probably a little woefully, but knowing deep within that his presence is heaven to me.
Amen.
The same week, it was our prayer meeting on the Friday night, and I was praying with Bev, and we both weren't quite sure what we wanted to pray for each other, but we had the same thought. We wanted to know the next step, what God wanted us to do. The next morning, it must have been about 9 o'clock at night, we were praying. The next morning, about 9:30, 20 to 10, Philip, who's the vicar down at Pemberton, said, I wonder if next Sunday night you could take the service at St. John's. You can say no if you want to, but how could I say no? I'd ask for God to show me what to do. Mm. So I'll be there tonight and ask for your prayers for that, please.
Mm. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Beautiful. Thank you. Anyone else? Yeah, you can use this. This is better.
Hello, everyone.
Hi.
Last Wednesday, I was in work and I had a really bad gallbladder attack. I pushed throughout the day. It got to 10 to 3 and I ended up walking up the corridor crying to the head saying, I can't push anymore. I'm in agony. So she sent me home. I went to work the next day. It was still hurting. Friday was still sore. Saturday, I thought, no, this is really, something's not right. It's not like I do have gallbladder attacks, but it was completely different. They admitted me and said they were extremely concerned because it looked like I had a dangerous blockage. They took bloods and said, no, we're really worried about your liver, your pancreas, and your gallbladder and your kidneys. So I waited till 1:30 that evening to be found a bed. It was very crowded. I had scans, ultrasound and CT scan. When the surgeon and consultant came back to me, they said, oh, there's no inflammation. That your pancreas, your liver, your kidneys, they all look fine. You know, they couldn't really understand it. They said, well, we'll do some more bloods. So they did more bloods and they said, oh, your levels are coming down. Your pancreas, your kidneys, your liver, the levels are all coming down. They were like, oh, right, okay, we'll do some more bloods. You know, so they couldn't believe what they were saying. They did more bloods and my levels had come right the way down. My gallbladder is still full of stones, but from what they were saying, it could have been really, really bad because they were so concerned about so many organs, but it was prayer.
Amen.
God answers prayer. And
amen.
I was talking to Mike yesterday. Prayer, he doesn't always answer you straight away, Mike reminded me. And no, he doesn't. Sometimes he wants you to learn something through the process, or he's not sent that storm, but he will use the storm. So even though I've got to have the op in a few weeks, I know I could have been in a much different situation right now if it hadn't been for God. So
amen.
All praise to him, and thank you for your prayers.
Thank you, thank you. Amen, thank you. strange thing happened to us last night. It was the middle of the night. And I was woke up by the lights going on and off, on and off, on and off, on and off in our bedroom. I don't know what time it was. 2:45 in the morning. Just lights going on and off, on and off, on and off, on and off on their own. And I woke up and I thought, what on earth, what's going on? And I looked at the switch. I just didn't understand. And then it dimmed down a little bit and then started up again. And then Micah woke up. And I realized I have to take authority over that thing, whatever it is. If it's an electrical fault or some other thing, I'm going to take authority in Jesus' name. And so I just spoke out in Jesus' name, whatever you are, at the root, I command you to stop in the name of Jesus of Nazareth. And then the light just went off. I wouldn't want to say anything else apart from I think that it's important for us to remember at all times that we have authority and God wants us to use it. I don't know what whether it was an electrical short thing or some wire thing. It's never happened before. It's very strange. But you see, when you've dealt, as I have, with the supernatural and demonic things, not everyone understands that, but I've dealt with quite a bit of that. And I understand that all sorts of funny things get involved and try and interfere. Any kind of interference in our lives can be possibly something that's spiritual. So I just thank the Lord that he's given us authority and for the wisdom to use that authority. Amen?
Amen.
Praise God.
Yeah, it was very strange last night, and it's strange that we both woke up as well. Could have easily slept through. It was like God was trying to get our attention or something.
That's true.
And then when we listened to Creflo Dollar this morning, it was about taking authority over unclean spirits, which was... I thought it was just confirmation that something was going on. And not only that, it was the snow moon. Is that what it was called last night, the snow moon? And you know when things are going on in the moon, with the moon, things are going on in the supernatural as well, with the witches and spells and all sorts. We just need to be aware and be prayerful, really, and not be afraid as well. I'll just put this here. Just regarding the ladies' meeting, so it is Saturday the 29th at 10 o'clock, 10 to 12. We will be meeting together, and Dorothy will be sharing her testimony, a word of encouragement, and we'll be having some refreshments together. So if you want to invite someone, please invite someone. There is some leaflets being done. I'm not sure when they'll be ready, but maybe Liz could do a Facebook one for us as well so that we can share on Facebook with any of our Facebook friends regarding the meeting. And then I know Pat wanted to share something. And just again, on Sunday the 1st, it's all in here. Nigel Lewis will be sharing his testimony as well. It'll be some great, great meetings. And it'll be very interesting to hear from him as well.
Yes, I just should say on that there's a... Nigel is, of course, the ex-mafia man and his wife. So... when they come, they'll be sharing in the morning and I believe the evening. They're coming Friday afternoon. And the following week, I just wanted to say that on the Friday of the following week and the Saturday, we're having some media training. So if anyone's interested, we now have a green screen for making video programs. And we've got some lights, we've got the software, we've got the camera, we're ready for action, we've started. And we're having this training, so if anyone's interested in media, there's the Friday and the Saturday. So that's the 6th and the 7th of March. And so please come and get involved. We've got someone who's making programs for Sky, the Christian programs there, coming along and going to do some training for us. I think it's going to be very interesting. Looking forward to that. Thank you. Just let me know. If that's you, just let me know. And you don't know about it yet, just come and see me after.
All right, morning, everybody.
Morning.
Well, Rebecca's not here today, but I'm sure most of you know that Rebecca has started a choir off. And she's absolutely wonderful. She's such a blessing to everyone who goes. And really, she's asked me today to just give it another plug, because maybe you've seen it and you just forgot about it, or you think, you know, will I be okay to do it? Can I sing? And you really just need to love to sing and to love to sing about God to come, really. And it's on a Tuesday night and it's 7:30 to 8:30. And it's just such a wonderful thing to do. And I was so encouraged on Tuesday. Because there's only a few of us, because everything has to start off small, but it's such a blessing. And Tuesday was wonderful. We were just exploring different songs that we'd like to sing and just really enjoying being together and worshipping God. And I think that's the lovely thing about it. It's lovely to sing with other people, but the fact that you're worshipping God as well while you're doing it, it's just such a wonderful thing to do. So I'd just like to encourage you to just come along. If you really love singing and you like being with other Christians and having the fellowship and the fun, because we had fun as well on Tuesday, I just encourage you to come along at 7:30. And if you come along and then you think, well, it's not really my cup of tea, but at least you tried. So I'd just like to welcome anyone. We need gentlemen and ladies. So anyone who'd like to come on Tuesday, we'd love to see you at 7:30. Thanks.
Amen. Yes, so let's enter. I haven't forgotten. I don't want anyone to think that we've forgotten about a new arrangement for the services, to have people reading, to have more people involved, to, you know, we've spoken about this, and this is taking place. It's just a case of just waiting for the right time for everything to be done. Praying through things, putting things together, looking at things. Just want everyone to know that that's very much in hand. Just take maybe a few more weeks for us to get up to speed with it, with all of that. But be in prayer for that. Be in prayer with us. I want to invite everyone to come with me into this scripture. But before we do, I have just come with me into thanking the Lord, would you? Let's just thank the Lord. I mean, are you like me? Do you know, I like singing and I like making songs up and I just thank the Lord. I mean, would you just do that with me? Can we do something now, Keith? Are you okay with that? Not saying you particularly, but you know, all of us. Let's just thank him, you know, just thank him. Thank you, Lord Jesus. He's our dad. It shouldn't be difficult. Thank you, Lord, we worship you. Hallelujah. Praise his wonderful, holy, holy, holy name. Hallelujah. Jesus is the Lord of lords. King of kings, we worship you, Lord. We praise your holy name. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory to the King of kings, Lord of lords. Hallelujah, Jesus is his name. Thank you, Father. Thank you, thank you, thank you. 'Cause the Lord has given abundant life and hope and truth, we enter in. Praise his glorious name. Let's just wave to him. Let's just thank him. Give a wave to the Lord. Honestly, everyone, just wave. You know, the Bible says, I wish that men everywhere would lift up holy hands in prayer and wave to him. Yeah, that's it. Come on, let's just wave. I mean, that's it. Well done, everyone. That's it. We're worshiping you, Lord. Lord, we're your people and we're worshiping you this morning. We're giving you all the praise, all the glory, and all the honor that's due your name. Worthy is the Lord, worthy to be praised. Hallelujah, worthy to be praised. He is worthy, worthy to be praised. Hallelujah, worthy are you, Lord, worthy to be praised. Oh, glory be to your holy name. Thank you, Father. Lord, come and speak to us now then as we enter in to scriptural principles of truth. Father God, take us on a journey this morning in this brief time that we have before us now. Thank you, Father God. Amen. So then, this morning, let's enter in. I have some notes here. I wonder if someone would help distribute some notes. Thank you, Sonny. And thank you, Stuart. Appreciate that. Those notes in the front. Lift your hands up and you can receive these notes on vow two. The vow ones are still available. There's been more copies made. They're in the hallway. And feel free, you can have those as well. These notes are for afterwards. So don't need to look at them now so much. But you can if you want, obviously. But they're for afterwards. Take them home. Your position on a subject dictates your perspective, which leads to your perception on the matter's importance. That'll take some thinking. This in turn leads to your personal position in that area. If you know the truth of the Word of God, you can receive more from it. God will use a yielded person, but the key is that knowledge of God's Word comes first. The Bible warns us that God's people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Knowledge is an important concept within the New Testament. Knowledge is important. I mean, there's a charismatic, there's been a trend since the 1960s, especially in the charismatic world, of being against knowledge. You know, and people throw up, you know, the Gnostics. And, you know, things like this. But it's spurious. It's not the truth. Knowledge is important in Scripture. There's no Scripture that advocates ignorance on a matter. It just doesn't do that. Scripture doesn't do that ever. Scripture advocates knowledge very clearly over and over and over again. It also says knowledge puffs up, and it can do that. But we're not talking about knowledge that puffs up and causes pride. We're talking about knowledge to be informed, actually in humility. Knowledge on a subject can make us more humble on that subject if we are Christians and yielded to the Holy Spirit. It's important for us to understand this. Knowledge really is power, you know. Knowledge can save your life in some circumstances. Knowledge can give you an advantage in life. It can make you money. You know, when I started to read the book of Proverbs, when I was in business, had a period of time after I'd left the music business, I was involved in setting up a business. I knew I had to work. I wanted to study. I wanted to spend time studying the Word. I was in Bible studies. But I set up a business. But before I set up a business, I worked for this man. He was a very successful, it was a Jewish company, a very successful company. And I was involved with purchasing things. But because I was reading the book of Proverbs, and the book of Proverbs talks about being diligent. It talks about, you know, gaining knowledge and understanding, being diligent in your work, not just doing a job to get paid, but being really diligent. I thought, I'm going to be the most diligent employee in this company. And you know what? We went to one of the fairs that you have. It was in Birmingham, the NEC. And I happened to notice that we could purchase something that we were buying cheaper from this other company in Europe than where we were currently sourcing it from. And I worked out, because I then went into the records of how much we were purchasing per year, and then I confirmed it with the managing director, and I worked out that if we did this and this and stopped doing that and that, we would save ourselves about £100,000 a year, just like that. And I told him, well, you should have seen his face. His mouth, he went like, and he ran off. He ran off, and I got promotion. That's how it works, with diligence. Diligence and wisdom, knowledge. But you see, it was knowledge. Because I'd studied, based on the book of wisdom, the book of Proverbs, which was teaching me to be diligent, work hard, I was doing that. And then that led me to study so that I had the information. There were other people there in my position. They didn't have the knowledge. Why? They hadn't done the studies. I did the studies. See how it works? Very interesting. So it's important. And the book of wisdom, the book of knowledge, book of Proverbs teaches us this. Now, the Bible contains spiritual laws and principles. In Matthew 16:19, it says this. Matthew 16:19, it says, "And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Mankind's enemy, the devil, doesn't want you to know more. Satan wants God's people ignorant of spiritual truth." Ignorant of their rights and privileges in Christ. Ignorant of their inheritance in God. Ignorant in every area of life. In John 10:10, Jesus teaches that he came to give us an abundant life. The Bible tells us in John 10:10 that the thief, the devil, only comes to steal, kill, and destroy. The devil tries to keep you from having more. The devil tries to steal knowledge from people, keeping them from learning, discovering, and getting revelations from God's word. That's the main way. Now listen to me. That's the main way he steals from people and keeps them in a poverty mindset and lack. If you go around some churches and you ask the people about the Word of God, you find the less they know of the Word of God corresponds directly to their walk in life and what they are experiencing in life. If they have a lot of the Word of God, there's a lot of expectation in life. And as their Word of God understanding increases, very often, if not always, there will be an increase in what's experienced in life. There's a direct correlation between the two. The Word of God, you know, is called the sword of the Spirit in Hebrews 4:12. You can defeat the devil with the sword of the Spirit. If the devil can keep you ignorant of the Word of God, he can keep you from having a sword to defeat him. Ignorance of the Word of God is one of the primary reasons people experience lacking their lives, lack of peace, a lack of joy. Some areas it's a lack of health, sometimes it's a lack of success, a lack of victory, a lack of prosperity. Lack in all areas can be associated very often to a lack of spiritual understanding. The book of Proverbs has much to tell us about the advantages and importance of gaining knowledge. Proverbs 10:14 says, wise people store up knowledge. Proverbs 11:9 says, through knowledge shall the just be delivered. Proverbs 24:5 teaches, a wise man is strong. Yes, a man of knowledge increases strength. Most people would like to be wise. Wisdom is just applying knowledge in the right way. But the knowledge has to be there in order for us to apply it. If it's not there, we can't apply it. So, people are trying to get a lot of things in life, but wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get knowledge and wisdom first. Proverbs 4:7, wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. And with all thy getting, get understanding. Proverbs 3:13, happy is the man that findeth wisdom and the man that getteth understanding. Now, the knowledge of vows and the wisdom to apply them is based on what we learn from the Bible. Here are a few guiding examples from the Old Testament. You know, I was interested this week to find out that some people really hadn't thought about vows much at all. And so last week's sermon was a bit of a revelation to some people, and there were a lot of questions following it. So the questions of vows. Well, I've already touched today on the inner vows, the vows that we make with ourselves. I will never let him do that. I will, you know, there's some women, I've counseled sometimes women, and they would say, this dating thing doesn't work out for me. That's an inner vow they've made. They made an inner vow with themselves, and they didn't know it. The Bible tells us that that's been snared by the words of their own mouth or their thoughts. They've been snared by their own thoughts, snared by their own thinking and their own words. It's a trap. And it could be in other areas. There's so many areas that we could think of that this applies to. People just come out with things and they say, you know, I won't allow someone to do this or cross me in this way or whatever it might be. And what's happening is they're initiating then a response on the inside that will kick off, and it'll be an internal response and very often be against the word. So it's very dangerous. But I want to talk about explicit vows from the Bible. And just look at the Old Testament briefly here. Vows were binding, Malachi 1:14. But cursed be the deceiver who has in his flock a male and takes a vow but sacrifices to the Lord what is blemished. So vows were binding. Don't make a vow and then change it and try and cheap out of the vow. I'm not going to go into the other scriptures. There's many scriptures I could have quoted for some of these, but I've only just touched on them. That we can see there next, the vows made in the context of worship. Psalm 66:13 says, I will go into your house with burnt offerings. I will pay you my vows, which my lips have uttered and my mouth has spoken when I was in trouble. People get into trouble and then they make a vow to the Lord, and the vow is made in real passion. It's a commitment. But I found this week that people didn't really relate much to vows, because people don't make vows. And I thought, I need to share my experience, because I realized that not everyone has an experience of making vows, or at least they're aware of it. Internal vows, yes, but not in terms of God. So come with me to the book of James. Let's go to the book of James 5 and 15. 5 and 15 in James, and it says this, and the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Now, the word prayer there, as we looked at last week, is from the Greek UK, and it means vow. It's a prayer with a vow in it. So it's the prayer with a vow in it shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. That's what that means. There's two other places in the New Testament where that word is mentioned, the exact same Greek word, and it's translated vow. I've referenced them, Acts 18:18, 21:23. It's the word for vow. Now, watch this. If you're in a difficult situation in life, you can go to God with a strong conversation and speak to him heart to heart and make a vow. That's what this is referring to. And the prayer or the vow of faith shall save the sick. We have a license. But we live in a society that's so unspiritual, so unsupernatural, that this is a foreign language, entirely foreign language, completely foreign to us. But my friends, let me illustrate the difference between New Testament thinking and modern day thinking in this. In the New Testament, when they were after someone to come as a disciple, someone to replace the disciple, they didn't have a big church conference and have a democracy and a vote. They just got some straws together, and whoever picked the short straw, that was the one. Now, they don't do that in the Baptist Union or the Methodist conference or the Anglican various conventions. That's not the way we do it today. We don't live in that supernatural mindset. But the New Testament is a supernatural book. It's for supernatural thinking, for supernatural people. You and I are supernatural. We're not natural. And we should think in a supernatural way. We're the ones for whom all things are possible. Let's think supernaturally. You see? So the Lord is saying to us, listen, in this, the vow of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. You say, well, that's getting into territory that I'm not aware of. Fine, if you're not aware of, fine. Get into territory you're not aware of. That's what it says. Because it's supernatural. So it's a case of going to the Lord with your heart. You know, when I became a Christian, I went to the Lord with my heart. I said, if you're there, show me. I don't ask to be born. I don't ask to find myself with my parents dying, my grandparents dying. Everything in this world, all the things I have to face, all the problems, if you exist, show me. If you're God, show me you're God. I didn't pray a nice little polite religious prayer. I made a challenge, show me. And he did. He likes it like that. God likes it when we go to him with a vow, because that shows that we believe in the reality of God. That's the reality of God. When we go to God with that intent. So not a nice little nice, you know, religious prayer necessarily. It's a case of coming in and saying, God, I need your help. I need this situation before me. I need your help. If you do this for me. And the Holy Spirit, you know, will put on your heart something that he wants you to do for him. Or you'll think it was your, let's say if it was money, you think that you may have thought of the number to give. But it wouldn't. It's the leading of the Holy Spirit often. Or if it's a task, I think it could be something as simple, as straightforward, just such a simple thing. Could be picking up the phone and making a phone call. It could be, Lord, you do this for me, and I will pick up the phone and I will phone that person. And the Lord may lead on your heart someone that you need to phone. But you know, very often in the Bible, it was money. And this is why we have the votive in the Old Testament, votive, and the history of the votive candles. It comes from that, at least. It was a vow connected with an offering, very often financial. So going to God, but my point this morning is this. See, taste and see that God is good. There's a situation in your life and you need God to move. Go to him with a vow of faith. Go to him with that and say, Lord, you do this for me. This is impossible in the natural. It can be an impossible situation. Impossible. But Lord, you go to the Lord. You say, Lord, you do this for me. I'll do this for you. And you don't need to tell anyone else either. See, I do this with the Lord. Things happen between me and him, and I do things. And I have that type of, you know, I thought it was natural for people to do this. I thought everyone did it. But most people don't do it, I find. Some people would say, well, people come up with all sorts of reasons. You know, well, we don't need to do this. We, you know, this is for this specific thing of, you know, healing. The Lord shall raise him up. Well, yes, it is in that example. But don't forget, that example is based on the Old Testament examples of vows. And in the Old Testament, there's an array of reasons for that. So it's not, going against the Bible if you make for various reasons. So what I'm saying this morning is this. If you've made a vow, an inner vow, that perhaps as we pray now towards the end of this service, the Lord may remind you, you made a vow in that area. You entered into a trap. You trapped yourself in a vow in that area. Let's pray for a release from that vow. And then if the Lord wants us to enter into a vow, a strong vow, for spiritual benefit, for our gain in a certain area, let's do that. Let's enter into that. God wants us to engage with him, and he delights in fulfilling what we ask him to fulfill, the prayers of faith. Some people say, well, I don't need to enter into it. Then fine, don't. That's okay, don't. I'm not saying everyone needs to. I'm just saying that this is something that I've done. This is something I was aware of. This is something that's New Testament. This is something that isn't shared very often from the New Testament. Most people in this portion of James, I mentioned last week, there were four different words that we looked at for the Greek word for prayer. There was only one of them which has the vow in it, verse 15. So I want people to, I don't want people to miss out. I want people to understand there's strength in this available for us. Am I making sense this morning? Does it make sense? It's so simple. It's just simple. But it's there. It's available for us. You may have a situation. It may be a very impossible situation. Go to God. Say, Lord, I come to you in prayer. And I'm telling you this, Lord, if you sort this out, I'm going to do this. It's one of the ways that God gets us into faith. Vows, the possibility of this vow gets people into faith. When they come true, it grows people's faith. That's what happens. That's my experience. When this comes true, it grows people's faith. And people say, oh, I'm going to do this again. But you see, we live in such a society that's not spiritual, not supernatural, not inclined towards something like a vow. And so I don't want us to be robbed through lack of knowledge. In this case, the knowledge has come from the Greek. It's not in the English Bible, it's in the Greek. Amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah, then, as we close now. Hallelujah. Going to the Lord in prayer. I'm going to the Lord in prayer. Yes, he loves you. He's got good plans for you. Going to the Lord in prayer. Hallelujah. Let's all stand and worship him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, I get joy when I think about. Oh, I get joy when I think about. I get joy when I think about. I get joy when I think about. Joy, 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 joy. I get joy when I think about what he's done for me. I get joy when I think about what he's done for me. I get joy when I think about what he's done for me. I get joy, 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 joy. Father, we thank you, Lord, because there's joy in the Holy Spirit when we think about what you've done for us. And we thank you for this scripture which talks about a vow of faith. And I thank you, Father God, that the prayer which contains a vow in faith, not in doubt, in faith, will achieve that which it is set forth to achieve. And I thank you for that. And so then, Lord, minister now, we pray in Jesus' holy name. If anyone here is aware, eyes closed, no one looking around. If anyone here is aware that they have made a vow in their hearts and it's been remembered to them this morning through the prompting of the Holy Spirit, and you want to renounce that vow that you made in your heart, lift your hand up now. Yep. Okay. Heavenly Father, then, you saw those people responding, that they've made vows in their hearts, and they want to renounce those vows. We renounce those vows, then, in Jesus' name, Lord. We say those vows will no longer have a hold on us. Those vows will no longer contain our thinking, and they will no longer manipulate our lives in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Thank you, Father. And Father God, We come to you now with another prayer. Everyone's eyes closed again. Let's just close our eyes. Now, this one is this. You would like to make a vow before the Lord. There's a vow that you'd like to make for some things in particular. And you're saying, yes, I want to do that. I want to do that. And I'm going to pray that the Lord makes it clear, your action clear to you this morning. Now listen, hold on a sec. I sense resistance. Now let me just say this. Don't resist me. Don't resist me. It's not me. This isn't my opinion. I'm just taught from the Bible. I've just taught from James 5:15 and the Greek and vows. So it's not my opinion. This is the Bible. So don't make the mistake of thinking that it's me. It's not me, it's the Bible. You can come to me, we can talk. But know very clearly, I'm talking about what the Bible says. Now, if you would like to make a vow, and there's something in your life, and you know it's a strong thing, and God is prompting you this morning, there's something that needs to be addressed, something, listen, as your eyes close, everyone's eyes closed, just respond to God now and say, that's me, Lord, and I'm going to pray that the Lord leads you in that direction. Lift your hand up now. Okay. Heavenly Father, you see our hands lifted up. And Father, we come to you then and we ask for the leading of the Holy Spirit, that, Lord, you would show us exactly from the Scriptures what we need to do, and with a clear understanding, empower us to do that thing. That, Lord, we enter into a faith thing with you so that this vow of faith is made, this prayer with a vow in it of faith is made before you. That, Lord, when that thing is achieved, it will increase our faith, give us more testimony, and better our walk with you and our trust in you. In Jesus' holy and wonderful name, we thank you and praise you. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Well done, everyone who did that, who felt the leading of God for that. Well done. I congratulate you, because it's a strong thing. It's a strong thing. And, you know, if you see evidence of strength in a church, you see evidence of a strength in a church, you see evidence of a ministry, there's strength there. There's a commitment somewhere along the line. Someone's making a commitment and it's of faith. Praise God for it. Amen.